Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, let's talk from the subject this morning, cast your cares on Jesus. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at verses 5 through the first part of verse number 9. All right, so now let's kind of get this straight in our minds. Make this statement of faith together. It is God's will for us to live in righteousness, peace, and joy. You believe that? It's God's will. Say it with me, will you? Let's just make this confession together. It is God's will for us to live in righteousness, peace, and joy. That's God's will for us. Now, and there's a battle over that, it seems. It's a battle for us to live right, a battle for us to be at peace, a battle for us to live in this kind of joy that's talked about, the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God, is what Paul says. It's not God's will for you to live in chaos, confusion, full of worry, full of anxiety, full of fear. You know that's not God's best for you, right? It's not God's best for any of us. Jesus said this in John 10:10. It's one of my favorite things he ever said. It kind of sits down in my spirit real deep. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You got that one? Some of y'all got that one memorized. You need to get that down in your heart. Jesus came to give us life, and not just any kind of life. We were already kind of living already, but he came to give us what the scripture calls eternal life or everlasting life, or to literally to impart the life, the Zoe life of God into our spirits. And he called it a life more abundantly. It's more life than you can ever dream of. That's God's will for us. So all this idea of us living in fear and anxiety, that's not God's will. Let's get to that more abundant life that Jesus is talking about. Let's talk about that. Peter's going to help us out a little bit. And here's Paul's going to say something here in 2 Timothy 1:7 before we get to 1 Peter. It takes me a little while to get there. You know, y'all noticed that. The joy is in the journey, right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now think about that. Well, if God didn't give me a spirit of fear, where does that fear come from? Well, it's not from God. It's from that unholy trinity of the world, the flesh, or the devil. It's that unholy trinity that comes to influence our heart and our soul and our outlook on life, so to speak. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of power. And the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind, a mind that works right, a mind that's in tune with God, a mind that thinks the thoughts of Christ. God's given me a sound mind. And this idea of a spirit of fear that Paul is addressing, that Timothy's struggling with, the spirit of fear is about you having that automatic, consistent reaction to life that causes you to go into worry, that causes you to go into fear. Now, we've all battled this. And I come from a long line of worriers. Anybody like that? I mean, obviously, if I don't answer my cell phone, my mama calls 911. That's just the way it is at our house. Y'all know that kind of deal? And my grandmother was like that. My both sides, just long line of worriers. People always worrying about this, that, and the other. But that's not God's best for us. We don't want to respond to life always in worry and fear. Now, we're not going to be careless with life. But God does want us to live carefree, to where we're not carrying the stresses and the weights. God's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants to put that kind of stronghold in it. Not the stronghold of the spirit of fear and all the worry and anxiety that comes with it, but the stronghold of the power and the love and the soundness of mind where I can think straight. And the Holy Spirit's going to help us today in this area. All right, so let's turn our attention to 1 Peter 5. I want you to, as we read this, I want you to see a connection between these words, these ideas right here. See a connection. You're going to come across humility. We're going to come across casting your cares, this idea of being sober, being vigilant, and resisting the adversary. We're going to see all this, and hopefully we're going to be able to tie a thread through all of those ideas and pull it all together and help you to see it as one. All right, 1 Peter 5, verse number 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, the same troubles are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Come on, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Can we do that? Lord, as we turn our heart to your word, we just ask that your Spirit just guide us, speak to us, challenge us, change us, convict us where we need to be convicted, and help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to get that, what your word calls understanding, so that we can take this home with us. We can live in that righteousness, peace, and joy that you've promised us. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Just pray it won't be lost on us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, ever feel like this? You heard somebody say burning the candle at both ends kind of thing? You ever feel like that sometimes? Is that's it's just all kind of coming down on you all at one time from all sides? You ever feel like this guy? Like you're carrying the weight of the world? The Bible has a word for all of that. It calls it cares, or cares of this life, or cares of the world. If you're not careful, the cares of this life will build up pressure in your soul. If you're not careful, you know, we got all kind of cares. We got money problems, money issues. We got to manage it properly. We got family stuff we got to deal with, right? We got kids, them kids. That deserves a big one, don't it? We got all these things that are happening and pressing in on us. And then God help you if you watch the news. You know, you got all the prayers. And now all of a sudden I'm worried about what's going on in a country I can't even pronounce. You know, because they had something that happened, and now I'm worried about all these kind of things. And then you got all the internal stuff that's happening on the inside of you. And if you're not careful, all that anxiety and all that worry and all that pressure builds up in you. All those what we're calling cares. What are you going to do? If you're not careful, it'll get you to a breaking point, won't it? If you're not careful, all that stuff gets to accumulate and all that kind of stuff, and boom, there it goes. Now, y'all knew that was going to happen. What's wrong with y'all? For everybody that's going to listen to that on podcast, I apologize. Don't. I hope you didn't wreck the car. But that's what happens to us. We get all this pressure that builds up, and we get to a breaking point if we're not careful. Well, Peter's trying to help us with some of this. All right, so let's get to our first idea, what he comes across. This idea of humble. And now you've probably heard all those kind of things preached in separately. What I'm going to do is try to pull them all together and show you how it all works together right here. And just kind of a thought that Peter gives us to help us. The first idea is the idea to be humble. To be humble. He said it in just a few short verses, like three different times. Be clothed with humility. God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He talks about being submissive to one another. We saw that. So this the church is to be this culture of humbleness or humility. What's he talking about? To be clothed with humility. It's kind of like that's part of your character. That's part of who you are. That's part of your nature in Christ is to be humble, to be a humble person. And then that God gives grace to the humble. God empowers people. God has favor on people who are of a humble mind and a contrite spirit. Those things God will not despise is what David told us. So this idea, what is humility though? What is the whole idea? I kind of sometimes think about the opposite. It kind of helps me. What's the opposite of humility? It's pride, right? The opposite of humility is pride. So humility is the opposite of being prideful or arrogant. To be humble means to make yourself lowly of heart or lowly of attitude. And it's not like you're putting down yourself, but it's this idea. And C.S. Lewis kind of gives us some of that idea of humility. It's the ability to not think of yourself. To not think of yourself. You know, we're always on our own minds, aren't we? But if you're a humble person, you think of yourself less, or you don't even think of yourself at all. That's what it is to be humble. Preferring others above yourself. It's an attitude that shows up in our actions. You know what it's like if you've ever met a humble person. And C.S. Lewis helps us again on this. This idea, he says, if you met a humble person, you wouldn't think that he thought less of himself. You would think that he thought a lot of you. Because a humble person, when you're in conversation with, they're really interested in you. They want to hear what you got to say. They want details about your life, and they listen and they take it in, and they're interested in you. Versus the arrogant person. You've all talked about the arrogant person. You tell them your troubles, and then they got worse troubles than you, and they begin to tell you how you tell them your successes, and oh, they can one up you. You ever been with a guy who's one up in everything? Oh yeah, I'm checking out at that point. I'm done here. This is supposed to be about me, y'all. That's what you're having a conversation. You're supposed to be listening to me. But it's this idea that when you meet a humble person, they literally seem to be interested in you. He says to be of this kind of heart, of this kind of attitude. Now, we've got to learn how to practice humility. It's a virtue that we've got to learn to practice. And like all the virtues, they don't just come natural. They've got to be worked out and practiced and put into practice. And we have to hone our skills. So we practice humility. We practice humility by serving people, right? Serving people. And it's not the scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of service. It's literally the kind of service where you do it just for the benefit of somebody else. That's important. It's a part of our love for one another. It's part of our love for our community, our world. Practice humility. Serve people. Listen in conversation. We mentioned that. Hold the door for somebody. I know you're always in a hurry when you go to Walmart. Chill out. Take your time. Hold the door for somebody that's halfway across the parking lot. Just hold it. Wait. Don't try to break in line. Don't try to skip. Prefer other people. See, that's a practice. See, all these different kinds. Those are simple ways, but you find ways to practice humility. Especially practice humility before God. That'd be important. I encourage you that every day of your life, you ought to find a way to humble yourself before God. Humble yourself. Personally, what I like to do is grab a knee. That kind of calibrates my world a little bit. I just grab a knee. I just say, Lord, I just bow my knee to you today. And I just tell you that you're my Lord. That's important. That's important because if Ron is left unchecked, guess what happens? It's not about me humbling myself before God. It's about me. That always has to be put in check in our life. So find a way. Find a way. If kneeling is a problem, bow. Bow your head. If that's a problem, lay on your bed before the Lord. Whatever you got to do, make yourself low so that you can get in tune with the Most High. That's the way He works. So practice this idea of humility. That's the first idea, the humility part. And now notice this, the second idea. He says to cast your cares on Jesus. Cast your cares on Jesus. Now what I want you to see here is the casting your cares is directly connected to the idea of humility, of us humbling ourselves before God. That one of the primary ways that we live a humble life before God and with God is that we learn to cast our cares on Jesus. You got that? Because when you try to do life on your own, in your own strength, in your own wisdom, your own way, in God's eyes, He sees that as just simple pride. That's pride, and pride always goes before fall. When you try to do life without God's help, without God's input, without His wisdom, it is evidence of a prideful heart. Let's get nitty-gritty right here. Prayerlessness is not just sin. Prayerlessness shows us that pride is dominating our hearts. The pride of being our own man, our own person, our own individual, being independent from God. That's what got us in this mess in the first place from Genesis chapter 3. And when we are prayerless, when we don't communicate to God and we don't, what Peter is saying, cast our cares upon Jesus. When we don't do that, that's an evidence that pride is rooted in our hearts strongly. I think about my daughter, Lily. Well, she's 25 now. Goodness. Think about it. When she was little, anybody ever have them strong-willed child, that independent child, got to do everything on their own kind of thing? And you want them to be independent. You just didn't want it to happen when they're three. You know what I'm saying? She used to have this thing that she did all the time. She would be getting dressed, and I would try to help her. Go tie her shoes. And she had this thing she said. She said it, and it's so cute, but it was also not cute all at the same time. You know how it is, Mom. Tying the shoe. And she'd say, I do it. Go to go put on her shirt. I do it. Go to put on her pants. I do it. She said it so fast every time. I do it. And she comes out, and she got shoes on wrong feet, shirts on backwards, pants on button, all that kind of stuff, you know. But she did it. One day, I was dressing her, and she started that I do it, and I got frustrated, and I got upset, you know, in a sanctified kind of way. Anyway. I got frustrated, and I got upset, got her dressed. Lord spoke to my heart. He said, that's the way you treat me half the time. Kind of a gut punch, you know. I'm trying to do something in your life, and you, I'll do it. When we don't pray, we're telling God, I'll do it. You know, the worst thing God can do is answer that prayer. Let you do it. You'll make a mess. And spiritually, you'll be walking around, shoes on wrong feet, shirt on backwards, looking a mess. You know. It's this idea of humility has to do, in this context, about us casting our cares on Jesus. I saw two pictures I want you to see right here about this casting your cares on Jesus. To cast your cares is the idea of to transfer the load. Think about what it would be like in Peter's day. You know, they had beast of burden. They'd have a donkey or a camel or a horse or something like that. And they would take them to the job site or whatever they're doing, going on the journey. What they would carry the load, and then they would transfer the load to that donkey, right? To that what we may call a beast of burden. So it's this idea that you're carrying this weight, this weight of life, whatever it might be for all of us. We're carrying this load, and we're given an invitation right here to take the weight of that load and transfer it upon the Lord. Now here's the revelation that Jesus is offering to us to be like that beast of burden for us in our lives. Jesus is saying that, come into this yoke with me, and I'll have pulled the load with you. Right here, Peter is saying, transfer the weight to Jesus. You know, you're not meant to carry weight. I mean, just look at our physical structure. We're really not meant to carry weight. If you carry weight for a long time, it's going to break down your back and your knees. You're not even designed to carry weight. Now that mule or that horse, it's designed to pull. It's designed to carry weight. But you get too much weight on you, and you're going to start to bow over. You're going to start physically, you're going to start to break down. So spiritually, that applies as well. You are not designed to carry the weight of your life. You still got responsibilities, but you don't have to carry the weight. Still got things to do. But Jesus makes an offer to us. He said, will you transfer that load to me? Now think about it in your mind, in your life, in your context, where you are. Are there some things that come to mind that you need to transfer? Maybe some names. Maybe it's actually a person. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's a decision. Transfer the weight to Jesus. Prayer is how we practice this. Prayer is how you practice this. And Dallas Willard calls prayer this. Prayer is talking to God about the things we're doing together. And when I pray, and when I pray properly, when I pray in faith, and when I begin to transfer the weight of that situation to Jesus, let Him carry it, y'all. The job crisis, the job situation, the financial problems, the relationship problems, the struggles we have, whatever it might be. Can you transfer the weight? Now, you're not disconnecting yourself. You're just putting the weight on Him. We're going to talk about how we're going to work this out. Transfer the load. All right? That's picture number one. Transfer the load. Picture number two. What was that first word? Cast, right? When you hear the word cast, what all you guys think about fishing, right? We cast, you know. It's the idea of to throw. Now, I learned something about myself. That when I get under stress, these big old fat hands of mine, this is what I do. When I get under stress, I clench up. Anybody like that? Or you draw up. I in my left hand especially, I'm left-handed. If I get in a place where I'm struggling with something or something gets heavy on me, I clench. I clench myself. I pull it into myself and kind of like hold on to it. And one way I've learned to deal with this over the years, what I end up doing is I take that open fist, and I've had to train myself. I practice this. I pray with open hands. Now, this may be a small thing. If it helps you, it's great. If it don't worry about it. But this is what I do. I pray with open hands. I find myself praying about something, and I get all tense about it. And then I'll check myself, and I'm letting go of that thing. You see what I'm talking about? Now, I learned to do this. Got a situation. I do this all kind of metaphorically in my mind, but I do it literally. No, this is a practice. If you saw me praying at times, you'd think I was wrestling or fighting somebody, okay? It kind of gets kind of rough. That's why I pray by myself. And I come in here, and I've been all over this place, you know? And hopefully there's no cameras or nothing like that, because it would be kind of embarrassing. Like, what in the world is he doing? The pastor, we need to get him some help. Here's one thing I do. I take that situation in hand, and then I throw it. Sometimes it's Lily. Boom. Can you take care of that? You see what I'm talking about? The situation. Now, literally, instead of me clenching on it, holding on to it, and taking in all the stress that it does, and meditating on it, and pondering on it, and getting worse and worse and worse, you know what I'm talking about? All that kind of thing. I literally take that in my mind, in my hand, and I cast it on the Lord. I literally throw it. If I had a piece of paper, I'd wad it up, and I'd just throw it. I started to get a whole bunch of them socks that we threw out last Sunday, and I just started throwing it all over the sanctuary, but I figured some of y'all could handle that. To throw it on Jesus. To throw it. Take that care and throw it up to Jesus. Now it helps. It helps if you can be as specific as possible. I kind of found out that with God, generic prayers just don't really work. He's not after generic anything. He's very colorful and he's very personal. And he wants you to be very colorful and very personable. So be specific when you can. Grab that thing. Throw it to Jesus. I believe it'll help you now. It'll help you. All right. Put these things into practice. And let's live a little more worry-free and a little more fearless. All right. So now, third idea. He says this right here. Cast your cares upon Jesus. And the third idea is that for Jesus cares for you. For Jesus cares for you. All this stuff can be overwhelming. And one of the things that problems do, they tend to make us forget about the goodness of God over our lives. They tend to make us forget that God really does care. So Peter reminds us right here. He says, Jesus cares for you. And hey, beloved, the cross is the proof. The cross is the proof that he cares about you in the greatest and deepest of ways. Now, he even cares about not just you and your life. He cares about the issues of your life. He cares about the small things of your life. He cares about the big things of your life. Those life-changing decisions, he cares about that. But he also cares about how you're feeling when you're driving home from work. He cares about everything about you. I remember years ago that a young man came to me, and he was about to have knee surgery. And I knew about that, and I said, you want me to pray for you? He said, no, man. He said, it's going to be all right. We don't need to pray about that. It's just my little old knee. He said, God's got stuff he needs to deal with, and hungry kids and people in Africa and all that kind of stuff. He said, he's got bigger stuff to deal with than me. And I said, oh, time out, Scott. Hang on, time out. God cares about your knee. Talk to him about it. He cares about the smallest of details of our lives. Not just the eternal details, but the everyday, today details. And somehow or another, I think we We've segmented out our lives. We've got a religious life, and we've got a work life, and we've got a family life, and we've got our fun life, and all that kind of stuff. And we keep God over here, and He's part of our religious life, and you know, sometimes we'll get Him involved in our family stuff, but we got our whole life compartmentalized. No. Get God involved in the whole deal. From the littlest of things to the biggest of things. Peter said, for Jesus cares for you. And I wonder if Peter was remembering. Remember who's writing this? Peter. I wonder if he was remembering about that night in that storm. They're all about to die, they think. Jesus is asleep in the boat. And they wake him up and they say, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning? We're going to die right here. Don't you care? Jesus got up and said, peace, be still and calm the storm. I wonder if Peter was thinking about that when he wrote that. I wonder if he was thinking about that time where he took a little stroll with Jesus on the water. And then the waves began to crash in on him, and he took his eyes off Jesus and put his waves on all the stuff that was crashing in on him. And then he began to sink and can't swim in a storm like that. And he's literally drowning, and Jesus reaches down and pulls him and rescues him right out of that water. I wonder if he's thinking about that. By the way, we got a picture on our wall right here in the foyer of that very scene right there. Jesus, take a look at it. It's right there on that wall in the foyer. Jesus reaching down through the water. I wonder if he's thinking about that time Jesus met him at that campfire. This was after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, after the rooster cock-a-doodle-doo, after that whole deal that Peter denied Jesus three times right there. I don't even know him. Started cussing and doing all kinds of stuff. Ran off, quit the ministry. And Jesus chased him down, met him on the shore of that Sea of Galilee at a campfire and restored that man's life. I mean, Jesus chased him down to put him back into commission. I wonder if he's thinking about all that kind of stuff. So what I'm saying is when he says Jesus cares for you, he's got a reference point. He knows. And he wants us to know. The cross is the proof. Jesus cares for you. Now, let's keep tying it together here. The last idea, the fourth idea right here. Let's wrap it up with three. Be sober, be vigilant, and resist the adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So he gives us three action steps right here. Three action steps. He says, I want you to be sober, I want you to be vigilant, and I want you to learn to resist. Resist the enemy. Be sober, say it with me. Be sober, be vigilant, and resist. So what is all this? Okay, now, the idea of sober. The idea of sober is to be alert, right? It's to be calm and go back to what Paul told Timothy, to be of a sound mind. That's the idea of being sober. So he says, be sober. Be a sober people. Be alert. No, you're not just on a picnic. You're in a battle. Be alert. Be aware. Be of a sound mind. Think straight. To be vigilant. Kind of the same idea, but just a little bit more intense. It's to be awake, to be watchful. To resist is to fight back or to push back. All right? Now again, let's go back to that opposite thing again. So what's the opposite of sober? Y'all ain't been saved your whole life, I know. What's the opposite of being sober? To be drunk or to be intoxicated. All right, so now what's the opposite of being vigilant? It's like you're aloof to things, right? What are y'all saying? I can't hear you. Distracted. That's a great word. To be distracted. What's the opposite of resisting? Give in. Right? Just kind of let it happen. All right, now let's pull this tight together right here. This is where it all comes together. Make the connection. This is what your enemy's goal is. He said, your enemy wants to devour you. He's like a roaring lion. He wants to overwhelm. He wants to overtake you. He wants to eat you up. How's he going to do it? In context with what Peter's saying, he uses the cares of life, the worries of life, to intoxicate you with worry and fear. So he said, be sober about your life. Think straight. Be of a sound mind. Know that God's with you. Know that God's going to help you. God will give you wisdom if you ask Him to be sober of mind. Don't let Him intoxicate you with worry and fear because intoxicated people don't think straight. They don't walk straight. They don't process thought properly. And your enemy wants to take those cares and he wants to so overwhelm your life until you are absolutely drowning in the cares of this world and the cares of your life. He wants to distract you. He doesn't care what it is. He just don't want you doing the right thing. You can do a whole lot of other things you enjoy. A whole lot of other things that the world is doing. He doesn't care what they are. He's got a lot of options. As long as you're not doing what God called you to do. And these cares, the enemy magnifies them to distract you. And he said that to resist him. Well, he don't want you to resist him, so what does he do? He uses these cares to steal your strength. To literally zap your strength so that you can't do what you should do because you're trying to do something over here. It's not even yours to do. And he will take those loads of those cares, and he will absolutely wear your life, wear you out. And you know what? A fatigued person, spiritually fatigued, physically fatigued, you can make the parallel. They're grumpy. They're vulnerable. All those kind of things. And if he can get you spiritually weak because you're carrying a load you wasn't designed to carry, if you're not careful, he might take you out. Cause you to get into sin you shouldn't get into. You see what I'm talking about? You making the connection? This is why it is imperative for us, guys, to develop this skill. It's a skill. It's a spiritual practice. And practices have to be practiced, right? They don't just happen. You've got to develop this skill of casting your cares on Jesus. Make yourself, train yourself, that's a better word, train yourself to transfer the weight. You know when it's pressing. Transfer it to Him. Train yourself. Cast your cares on Him. Cast them. Throw it. I know y'all think I'm crazy. Grab that thing. Grab that person. Grab that husband. Grab that wife. In your mind. Don't not physically. But in your mind. Somebody said, I'd like to throw them to Jesus some days. Yeah. Can we do that? Can we work that out, preacher? Throw it. Throw that situation, that problem, that person, whatever it might be. Throw it to Him. You weren't designed to do life without God. Life is better done with God. Life is from God. He's the giver of life. He's the one that helps us maintain life. And your life and my life will not work properly without Him. Learn to involve Him into these situations. And as Peter said, cast your cares on Jesus, for He cares for you. Amen.